Okay, so all the normal stuff pretty much going on here. We got Monday meal, which looks like John and Breck. I think it says probably John is the cleaner. I'm guessing that means he'd like it not to be, but or at least he'd like some help. So, and then we have our meetings. What was that? Okay, John's cooking. We really need cleaners. So volunteer. All right, and then we have our weekly meetings Tuesday, 9 a.m. at Max. That's still going on.
I'm going to start by reading this parable we're going to look at today. So Matthew 20, verses 1 through 16. Later this morning, we're going to reread this story. So if you are a comfortable public reader, consider volunteering if I ask for that in a few minutes. For the kingdom of heaven is like a master of a house who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for a denarius a day, and that's like a day's wage, he sent them into his vineyard. And going out about the third hour, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And to them he said, "You go into the vineyard too, and whatever is right I will give you." So they went. Going out again about the sixth hour and the ninth hour, he did the same. And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing, and he said to them, "Why do you stand here idle all day?" They said to him, "Because no one has hired us." He said to them, "You go into the vineyard too." And when evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, "Call the laborers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last up to the first." And when those hired about the 11th hour came, each of them received a denarius. Now when those hired first came, they thought they would receive more. But each of them also received a denarius. And on receiving it, they grumbled at the master of the house, saying, "These last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us, who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat." But he replied to one of them, "Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this last worker as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or do you begrudge my generosity?" So the last will be first, and the first last. Real quick, I did want to say thank you again, everybody who helped with Homer Days, and talking about the heat of the day and the heat of the fryer. Thank you for your help. It was a very successful Homer for Oak Street. So I was reminded of this parable while I was preparing for that contemplative service we had a couple weeks ago, where we were talking about ripeness, and we were really asking the question, what is God bringing to fruition in us, right? What's growing ripe? I was reminded of this parable, and then I didn't use it actually, but it's kind of been on my mind. And as we've established in the past, when we have looked at parables, they're designed to be chewed on, right? So my hope is that after this morning, you'll go home and go to Matthew 20 and chew on it, right? Or maybe if it's helpful, you'll rephrase it for yourself, something like that. And the purpose of this parable, as Jesus says at the very get-go, is that he's trying to make his listeners aware of the kingdom of heaven, right? The kingdom of heaven is like. That's the whole point. And there's so many parables that start that way, right? All these parables. Kingdom of heaven is like. And just so we're clear, let's go to Luke 17 real quick, just for two quick verses. Luke 17, 20 and 21. Being asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he answered them, "The kingdom of God is not coming with signs to be observed, nor will they say, 'Look, here it is,' or 'There.' For behold, the kingdom of God is in the midst of you." So we're not learning about some eventual future right now. We're talking about something that actually should have bearing on our lives, like right now. And I think we talked about this a lot this summer, is we can easily be kind of obsessing about the future. And some branches of Christianity, we do that a lot, right? Maybe we talk only about heaven, because that's like we push all of God's goodness off to then, right? Like that's when we get it, so let's focus on that. And we kind of miss out on realizing that God's goodness is here and now. It's for us right now. Or maybe some kind of, when I was younger, the end times was like real big. Everybody wanted to talk about the end times, right? And we focus on that. I don't know why, right? But Jesus is like, look, the kingdom of heaven is in the midst of you. So maybe pay attention right now. And Jesus is trying to show us and his listeners the nearness of God's kingdom, the possibility and the accessibility of it. So in Acts 17, the early believers, the early church, is accused of turning the world upside down. But really what Jesus is trying to do is expose us to reality, right? The real way things are, the way things could be if we were aware of God, the way God wants things to be. And we get used to the way that things are, the way that we perceive them, right? Change is very tough for us on every scale. Like, no matter how you measure it, it's hard for us to change. And because true change is really hard, we need to be shown a better way. And Jesus does this with parables rather than with a list of bullet points, right? He gives us something to really work through so that we can get there honestly. So whenever we approach a parable, we need to ask if we're willing to see differently and to see better. And I think that if you've been around the Bible, you might have to put in some extra work because you're familiar with the story. And you might have to really push yourself to hear the story in a new way, right? Because we're actually really good at remembering the surface details of things. Have you ever not been listening to someone and they say, "Were you listening to me?" And then you say, "Yeah, he said this, this, and this." But you weren't listening to them. You know what I'm saying? Like, we can hear it, and we can kind of skim across the surface and make it seem like we get it, but do we actually pay attention? So we want to hear this parable. If we're familiar with it, we want to hear it in a fresh way. And if we want to grow in our way of seeing and knowing, we need to be able to sit in it, to sit with it, right? To try and go deeper. To ask questions and not rush to give an answer that we know, that someone told us later, or like earlier, or that we've come up with earlier, right? And one value of parables are that they resist easy interpretation, and they kind of demand that you look at it from a few different angles, or that you apply it to a lot of different circumstances, right? The kingdom of heaven is like this. Okay, if the kingdom of heaven is now, is it like this only for the economy, or is it like this for all my relationships? How does this apply? So before we read this parable again, I want to remind us that some of what can make parables difficult to sit with or even offensive to our own sensibilities is the realization that Jesus is not suggesting how the kingdom of heaven could be. He's telling us how it is, right? And as soon as we move past the parable as a fairy tale or an idealistic riddle, and we acknowledge that it's a revelation of what life in Christ should be, it requires us to change, right? So that's why we have to kind of say, are we willing to see differently? Because that's the whole point. So let's read it again, and this time kind of be thinking, what are we supposed to be learning about the kingdom of heaven? Does someone want to read? If not, I'm happy to do it. I'm not seeing anybody. All right, great. You got to use the mic though. I'll hold it for you.
Okay. For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that was a householder who went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a shilling a day, he sent them out into the vineyard. And he went out about the third hour, and he went out about that third hour and saw others standing in the marketplace idle. And to them he said, "Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I will give you." And they went their way. Again he went out about the sixth and the ninth hour and did likewise. And about the 11th hour he went out again and found others standing. And he saith unto them, "Why stand ye here all the day idle?" They say unto him, "Because no man hath hired us." He saith unto them, "Go ye also into the vineyard." And when evening has come, The Lord of the vineyard saith unto his steward, call the laborers and pay them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. And when they came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a shilling. And when the first came, they supposed that they would receive more. And they likewise received every man a shilling. And when they received it, they murmured against the householder, saying, these last have spent but one hour. And when thou hast made them equal unto us, who have bore the burden of the day and the scorching heat. But he answered and said to one of them, friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst not thou agree with me for a shilling? Take up that which is thine and go thy way. It is my will to give unto this last, even as unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Or is that thine eye evil because I am good? So the last shall be first, and the first last.
Thanks, Greg. So the kingdom of heaven is like a master hiring workers. And we can ask, who does the master hire? But it might be quicker to say, who doesn't the master hire? He spends the entire day hiring people, right? He goes out. Most of us run errands. You try to go, like, leave the house once a day, right? If you're going to go, you're trying to just get it all done. The whole day he's going out and hiring everybody he sees, basically. So this is one lesson to consider from this parable, that the kingdom of heaven is open and looking for people to join in. And then as an extension and a part of that kingdom, Oak Street is open and looking for people to come in and belong, right? There's a lot to be done. And we can talk about that on different levels, but there's a lot to be done around here. There's a lot of stuff, right? There's a reason every week we ask for cleaners, because there's a lot of dishes to do. And there's other projects, right? And there's other relationships to be built, because we're not talking about purely just work, we're talking about life. You too have a role here, right? And it may not be glamorous. Breck was the pastor here for 40 years, and he still washes dishes. You know, he's doing Sunday school right now. But that's one lesson we can take away from this. Then we can ask, what sort of people does the master hire? And we see that he hires the early risers, those who are out there first thing in the day, and then that he also hires the people who go unhired all day long. And if we start thinking about who might be unhired all day long, we can make a short list, right? We can think maybe they're disabled. Maybe it's people who are too old to be seen as good workers. Maybe they are people who are perceived as lazy or people with substance abuse issues, right? If we're thinking who would be out not being hired late in the day, it's everybody that people don't want to hire. Right? Oh, they're not going to do good enough work. I'm not going to hire them. But this master, he's just like, what are you doing? Get on in there. So the kingdom welcomes the unlikely as well as the obvious hires. And the first point, that the kingdom is open to all, is not really hard to stomach. In fact, it's on our sign out there, Monday meal, 5:30 to 7, all welcome. Right? All welcome. But our broad brushstroke hospitality will immediately be challenged when we realize that difficult people are welcome too, right? And of course, the truth is that we're all difficult people. That's what we have to realize. I am not nearly as lovable and easy to get along with as I think that I am, right? And when I know that, I should have a little more mercy on people that bother me, right? We're all beautiful, but we're all difficult. So Monday meal might be a challenge for us when someone comes in who clearly hasn't had a shower in a while. Or when someone comes in and tries to steal from the donation bucket. Or when someone comes in and they're inconsiderate and they throw their silverware in the dish tub and it splashes everywhere. And I'm like, hey guys, this is a space that's for other people. You don't need to splash soap. That's hard for me, right? That's where my frustration comes in. Who put garbage in the empty garbage can without a liner? Do you do this at home? You know, these are the sorts of things that bother me. But those people are welcome here, right? Right? And my job is not to say, you know, to stop everyone, which I've considered, to make a quick announcement, hey, but to just pull it out and put it in the garbage bag, right? Because the kingdom is open, and the master says, come on in, all welcome. And I think we can all agree that the real conflict of the story comes at payday, right? At when it's time to settle accounts. Is that, we all agree that's the climax of the story? Nobody complains about having more help. There's nothing in the story about the early workers being like, hey man, we've got it. You don't need to keep hiring all these people. There seems to be no problem bringing in more workers until the master starts handing out money. And I think this is the part that I expect will bother us, because we live in a world where value is earned, right? This shouldn't be news to anybody. This is how the world works. You earn it. Are you smart enough? Did you work hard enough? Whatever. And value isn't always earned that directly, but that's the story we tell ourselves. But the kingdom of heaven, the community of Jesus, is a place where value is given, right? Where you can't earn it. And that's a very foreign and alien concept to us. So much so that one article I read on this parable said, yes, the master pays everyone equally, but just so you guys know, when we get to heaven, rewards are different. Like the author wanted to mention this. I thought, well, that's really undermining the purpose of this story. Jesus says the kingdom of heaven is like this, and then you say, but just a quick note, you can earn more than other people and be rewarded better in the future. I thought that was a little absurd. I believe that there are two levels to this part of the story, the immature and the mature, and we have to go through both, right? You know, Paul talks about, when he's talking to one church, he says, you're still eating baby food, you should be eating an adult diet, right? This is kind of similar. The first lesson of the kingdom of heaven is that I have value. You have to know that, right? And we say it quickly. We say it on signs. God loves you. Jesus loves you, right? That's an early lesson that we should learn in our encounter with God. God loves and likes me. That's huge. A lot of people maybe don't know that or don't feel that, right? Maybe they get God loves you, but that's no, God, you have value because God gives it to you just for being you. So that's the early lesson. And babies learn that if they have loving parents, right? Babies are just like, I'm just loved, and that's great. But then as soon as they get a little older, what's the lesson that we have to give to toddlers? You have to share. The lesson is that you have to share because other people are also loved. Other people also have value. So that's the second lesson. Not only do I have value, not only do you have value, but we both have value given to us equally by God. And no matter how much more I think I've done or how much less I think that someone else has done, God does not measure our worth by our merit, like at all. And if that's hard to stomach, look at verse 4 where he says, the master hires the workers. He says, you go into the vineyard too, and whatever is right, I will give you. Whatever is right. And what's right? Full pay. So the workers at the end of the day complain. Not that they've been paid too little, right? That's not what they say. They complain that the master has made the late workers equal to them. So they think that they're superior to these other workers. And that's how we think, right? I've been here 20 years. I've worked harder than you. You were on your cell phone. Whatever. That's how we think. But here's a question that I think we need to consider. Who in this story has more cause to be grateful? Or how about this question? None of us, having ever been killed for following Jesus and trying to establish a church, right? None of us are martyrs here, I think, right? We might have played that way, but I don't think any of us are, right? You're here, you're breathing. None of us, having been killed for following Jesus, do we realize that we are in many ways the late hires? right? We have inherited a faith that's been passed down to us by the lives and the dedicated commitment of a lot of people. And in fact, if we think about it, Jesus is the one who works the long day, right? And we get to join in on that reward. I think if we understand our own weakness and God's grace, we should see that we're the late hires. But God doesn't measure our worth against any other standard than his love. And if you think about nothing else later, think about this. God doesn't measure our worth against any other standard than his love. So this lesson has some practical applications for us. Again, we have to be cautious interpreting these things, but I don't think that the kingdom of heaven is at odds with any one economic system, because I think it's at odds with all of them, because it's a totally different standard, right? Capitalism and socialism and communism did not exist at this time. This is a human issue of, I think I'm better than you. I think I've earned this. I'm competing with you. And God saying, actually, I love you guys all the same. So we could look at the economy of the world. We could look at America. We could ask questions about income equality or different pay rates for people. We could ask why it's so difficult for some people to make ends meet. And the denarius being a day's wage, everyone needs to be paid for a day. And so the master pays everybody, right? We could ask these things, and it might be helpful. But the government has yet to install the fix everything button on the wall over here. So we're just going to skip that and go to a smaller scale, something that's a little closer to home, something that's maybe a little more helpful for us to think about. Not too long ago, I and some of us were at the St. Edward's Church, where they're trying to put in 4 little cottages for some homeless women to transition out of homelessness into a stable life. It was a community hearing, right? So that everyone could share how they felt. And it did not take long for some people to say things like, I've lived in Silverton my whole life, or I've been here for 50 years, on both sides, right? Basically saying, my opinion has more credibility because I've been here longer. That sounds a little bit like this parable to me. And the idea is that these women who don't have a home don't have as much right to talk about this because, well, I've lived here, right? And maybe in one sense that makes sense to us. But I've only lived here for 11 years, right? I love Silverton just as much as most anybody else. I might even venture that I love it more than some people, although that would not be learning this lesson either, right? Yeah, I know, there you are. And we have to be careful in these things. That's how we get. I've put in all this time here. Well, putting in all that time, what have you done to make it easier for other people to live here? You know, what have you actually done with that time? Or we can even go closer to home. We could stay within these 4 walls, and we could say, the people who have been here the longest should only really be known for their service, right? If you're planning on being at Oak Street for the next 5 or 50 years, heads up, it does not get more glamorous, right? From what I understand, having been here for 10 years, it doesn't. But it's very beautiful, and it can be fulfilling, and it's important and worthwhile. But when a new person comes in, we actually give them the most honor, right? That's hospitality, saying, you're a stranger here. You can go to the front of the line. We will serve you. Right? We have to always have this in our minds. Reckon Kathy. Kathy's still in the back here doing the computer. I don't think Kathy really loves doing the computer back there. I don't think she hates it either, but she's doing it because it needs to be done. And thank you for that. You know, Steve Learman, the pay singers, still shuffling corn dogs, right? Which is, as much as we honor that weird shack, it's kind of a dorky job. But it's important, right? It's something that has value. And they've been here for years. So the last or the first, right? We honor the new person. And we can honor the new person and not have to have some sort of status, not have to be like, hey, John, yeah, I've been here 10 years. And it's a decade, I know. We can do that because our needs are not met by other people or by our own superiority or what we've earned. Our needs are met by God, who gives to all equally. And he doesn't require us to beat anybody or to be better than anyone. And he doesn't look at us and say, well, you've really put in the time. I'll take care of you. Oh, you just showed up? All right, well, wait it out. We'll see if we have anything left over for you. So I want to close with these two questions just to think about. Because again, we're talking about the kingdom of heaven right now. The master gives to everyone equally, and that's right. He says, I'll give to you what is right. Who does God withhold the fullness of his love from? Who does God withhold the fullness of his love from? And then the second question, who do we withhold it from?